Hello, everybody, and welcome to DestoParrots.com comic podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by TigerDirect.ca, the best computer parts and electronic deals anywhere. They have thousands of computer accessories, computer parts, computer, like just computers themselves, for really fantastic prices, shipping all over the world. So, click the link in the bottom page or in the banner on the site, go check out TigerDirect.ca and get some awesome deals on some awesome computer parts. It's TigerDirect.ca. While we don't sell computer parts, we do sell other stuff. Sign over to DestoParrots.com/store and check out some of our products. We are, as always, we're looking for new art and stuff. So if you have some, please don't hesitate to send it to BobbyWarren at DestoParrots.com or post it in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If you have a design idea, we'd love to hear from you, but unfortunately we won't be able to pay you if we make a product out of it. If you have art, we'll be able to pay you based on how well the products we put it on sell. And if you have an idea, we'll credit you if we use it. But unfortunately, yeah, we won't be able to pay you. Sorry. I'm your host, Dead Man. Joining today, as always, we have Bubby Wan.
Hello.
Steven will not be joining us this week because he's off making his magnum opus, Bear Cop. Yeah. That's going to be happening. I'm really looking forward to that. It sounds just ridiculous enough to be kind of to be really cool.
Yeah.
Yes, anyway, Bubby, what have you been reading?
Well, as usual, I pretty much have one thing to talk about.
Okay.
Because I didn't find The Walking Dead 108 until right now. from completelylegaldownloadlink.com.
Yes. I still want that goddamn shirt.
So anyways, yeah, so Deadpool Killustrated.
Yes, I've talked about this before on the show, I really like it.
I'm two issues into this, so,
there are two issues out.
Yep, I'm caught up with this series. Hooray, achievement.
Woot.
It's usually like The Walking Dead. And even that I'm not totally caught up on because I haven't read 108.
Yeah.
Anyways, which bugs me because we should talk about it, but I. Anyways, Deadpool Killustrated.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is Deadpool. In order to stop the inspiration for the Marvel comic books, starts going through the classics and murdering all of the classic literature characters. So this is my only thing to talk about. I'm going to get a bit spoilery, so spoiler alert for Deadpool Killustrated.
Yeah, totally. Just we're getting deep into this.
So, first of all, what was that first story he went into? Do you know?
That first story. It's been a while since I've actually read it.
A dude on a horse wearing armor stabbed him. He said he liked the guy on the horse. Didn't say who he was.
Yeah, just give me a second to get my copy out. Yes, get my copy out.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah, so dude on the horse. I am looking through it. Looking for the dude on the horse. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Deadpool slices his eyeball out.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and I don't know, actually.
Yeah, it's the, like, one story I can't identify.
Yeah, like, he's just... So, for those who don't read... Those who haven't read the issue yet, or may, like, might know about this, it is some conquistador-looking motherfucker. Like, he's in, like, a suit of armor with a... Like, a brimmed metal helmet on Lance, like, and running through, like, the fields of, like, fucking Danish countryside or something. Because there's windmills everywhere. Yeah, he just fucking runs Deadpool through with Lance.
Yeah, don't know who it is, but apparently it's a character that Deadpool likes. So there's a couple characters who he murders who he apparently likes, like the Headless Horseman.
Yeah. It's which,
like,
is, you know,
you're
cool.
My favorite campfire story. Now I'm going to disembowel your horse.
Oh, why the horse?
And horse. I don't know what he did to Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Like, so Tom Sawyer, he is killed off, like, off panel. Well, on but panel, but off.
You see, like, blood and bits of skull and brain splatting against the fence.
He's killed out of frame. Yes, like he's like it just shows like the fa- it just shows, like the fence like partially painted white, and like, you see like some dialogue of him trying to convince that kid that painting a fence is awesome because you know he hangs out with because he hangs out with retarded people. And then just all of a sudden Deadpool shows up and just blood splatter across the fence.
Yeah, there appeared to be like brain and bone matter there too, so he must have like exploded his head or something.
Shot him?
Maybe.
Yeah, like that happens when you shoot things right, just the blue shit comes flying out.
I gotta say though, I really appreciated that his toughest fight was against the Little Women.
Yeah, that was great. Like he took on fucking Ahab, fucking Dracula, and the people get like the most trouble is just a household of regular women who he just ends up fucking blowing. He's like, fuck it, I don't.
Yeah, so basically, Deadpool walks into the house. He's like, okay, women, okay, ladies, let's make this easy. I'll kill you painlessly if you make it easy for me. And they just beat the fuck out of him. And like they attack him maliciously too. They start like chopping off his fingers with skates and like stabbing him and shit. And while they're doing it, complaining, "Oh, he ruined my dress with his blood."
Yeah, which if Little Women was about like a group of sociopaths, I would be way more interested in reading it.
And then yeah, Deadpool's just like, "Fuck it, grenade."
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really great story, and you guys should definitely check it out. I'm pretty sure it's a 4-issue limited series.
Yeah. Now, of course, there's the other part of the plot, because there is something being done to stop Deadpool.
Yes.
The same scientists who sent Deadpool into the, what they call it is the Ideaverse.
Which, you know, is pretty cool.
Which sounds a lot stupider when you read it than when you... or a lot stupider when you say it than when you read it.
Yeah.
And they send a device in to warn Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, quite.
That Deadpool has been unleashed in the Ideaverse. And Sherlock Holmes basically jerry-rigs the device that was sent in order to allow him to dimension hop characters, and he assembles classic literature Avengers.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens. It's gonna be so good. I would love to see, like, I cannot wait to see fucking Sherlock Holmes take on Deadpool.
Yeah, let me quickly look up. Who all was in the group? I know it was Beowulf. Beowulf was one of them for sure.
Yeah, it's Beowulf, Natty Bumppo, Mulan, and Watson.
Okay, so that's the classic literature Avengers.
I have no idea who the fuck Natty Bumppo is.
Nor do I.
It sounds like a fake name. Like, he looks way too white to have that name.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Is it like some mountain man name? Like, were those the first things he...
Maybe.
Like, did his parents just, like, hang around, have him around, just have without a name, and they just said Natty Bumppo one day, and baby talk, he's like, okay, that's your name, fuck it. We need something to call this thing.
Anyways, I understand that Watson is close to Sherlock Holmes, but I'm not sure how well he's going to do as an Avenger, because, like, if you ever read the Sherlock Holmes books, like, contrary to the BBC series, he has an actual limp. And, like, in the first story, he's, like, in ill health, he's really weak.
Yeah, I've been meaning to read the Sherlock Holmes stories.
You can get them for free on Amazon.
But like this is like comic book Sherlock, but this is like comic book Sherlock and stuff. So, in every like comic book Sherlock thing that I've read, it's been like Holmes and like Watson is in perfect health, and he's also really awesome with a pistol.
But it's supposed to be the Ideaverse, so this is supposed to be
where this is
based from the original works.
Yes, because as we know, comics are all about paying insane comics are all about taking like ideas from really old things and keeping strictly to their continuity.
Yeah, but if you're going to say that these are the characters from the original works, not an adaptation.
Yeah, it's weird with comics.
I don't know. We haven't seen Watson do anything, though. Maybe he just...
Yeah,
we just saw him... He is a good shot. That is definitely a thing.
We just saw him load up his pistol and look really out of place with those other characters. Like they're all hanging out with, like... I have, like, the fucking battle gear on, like, skinkin caps and, like, swords and giant muscles. You see Watson over there. Oh, yes, quiet. Like a little six-shooter. He seemed really out of place.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll find his way to be useful, though.
Yeah. I wanted them to get an actual, like, full-on huge team and not just get three people.
Yeah, that would have been a bit better. Like, who else could we add who's, like, classic literature?
That Deadpool hasn't killed yet.
How classic do we have to go?
I don't know. Would Jekyll and Hyde?
Yeah, possibly? That'd be classic enough.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Yeah, pretty much anyone who is in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Yeah. But I think they have to avoid those in a super team up because they were already used in a super team up.
Yeah. Oh, come on, that'd be cool. Just Captain Ahab, just like the Nautilus just pops out of the ocean, and then Captain Ahab just shows up. Just, hey, Deadpool, puts like a spear gun into his stomach and just fires him. That would be awesome.
That would be pretty awesome.
I want to see Deadpool invade League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Like the comics, not the movie. The movie sucked. The comic was awesome.
The comic was awesome. The movie was bad.
Even if I did have to look up some stuff, it was still pretty awesome. Did you know that James Bond's granddaddy was involved in all that?
Really?
Yeah, Campion Bond.
Huh.
He's the one who got everyone together. Well, actually, he's the one who got Wilhelmina Harker from Dracula, and then she was the one who got everyone together. And she wasn't a vampire, she was just a person. It was pretty awesome. And the Invisible Man was a rapist.
Of course the Invisible Man is a rapist.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're invisible, what are you going to... Be honest, what are you going to do with it? Something really disgusting.
Just watch Hollow Man, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, totally. So, anyway.
But that's Deadpool Killustrated. There's classic literature Avengers versus Deadpool who's killing everybody.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, before he did this, he had a science team dedicated to genocide.
Huh, yeah, he did.
They were strictly there to teach him new ways to commit genocide.
Oh, Deadpool, you so crazy. So, yeah. Anything else to say about
Deadpool? One more thing. I laughed my ass off when the murder robots came in.
Yeah, murder robots. And Deadpool Killustrated is just great. It's awesome. Definitely check it out.
So on to your shit, Deadman.
Yeah, so, since Steven is not here, myself and Bobby Wan have picked two things each. So, Bobby, your first pick.
I have a short attention span. I forgot.
So?
It was, hang on, if I look up, I can find it. If I just look, it's up there. Aliens versus Parker.
Okay. So, Aliens vs. Parker. So this book started out real bad. We'll just be anyway. So it was like a group of five guys fighting against a group of aliens. Okay. And everyone talked like assholes. Like everyone was a giant asshole except for the guy with the beard. Like they were like taking shots at each other, like literally taking shots at each other. They were like saying, They were like bragging about how they figured out what sound effect a gun, like a head exploding, makes, and like talking like complete assholes, but the entire time. But then we realized it's all just a video game, and they were just being assholes in a video game, which is, you know, par for the course.
Yeah, pretty normal. Pretty normal.
Yeah, so then we get introduced all the characters. So there is Parker, who is, you know, I guess our title character, who is just a guy. Then we have his friend Modi, who is just another guy. You know, they're you know, they're kind of friends. Modi's a bit of an asshole. Then we have Kim, who's, I'm pretty sure, a sociopath. He, like, actually, like, carries around a taser that he uses on his friends. You know, they have her mouth off to him. He's also, like, insanely into conspiracy theories and shit. Then there is Gray, who's this really, like, non-imposing pilot. And there is Lawrence, who's retarded. I'm pretty sure, anyway. Explicitly said that he's retarded, but I'm guessing, like, he's not all there. Because, like, there have been a few times where, like, it's like, they, it's like, someone was, like, the guys were talking, and they, so what happens, so these guys, they're basically Space FedEx. Like, they're even called SpaceX.
All right, that's an original name.
Yeah. And so they're hired by a company to go and collect a confidential package. So the ship is commandeered by the government, or like the space government, I guess. And they start talking about, you know, like parties, you know, how like landing parties and stuff like that. And then Terrence is like, "Oh man, what kind of party do you think it's gonna be? Like dance party and stuff?" And then like they keep talking about, like, "Okay, so let's go out there, we'll meet him." It's like, "Yeah, I'll go out there and dance fight those guys to death at the party." And if you'll excuse me, someone's knocking really loudly at my door.
Okay.
So we'll just put a break in here with the music. Okay.
All right, it's going.
Okay. And we're back, folks. Sorry about that. My landlord needed butter. Yeah, so where was I? Fuck.
Retarded. Retarded.
Yeah. It's my Lawrence is probably my favorite character because, like, he has a vague understanding of what's going on, but he's still, you know, just, I'm, like, blissfully unaware of what's happening. Like, so there's this one scene where, so, like, I'll just go through the plot, like, point for point. So they get commandeered by the government people. They get brought in, and then the crew of SpaceX is introduced to Presley, who is the, I guess, is kind of the package. She is from a company, and, like, the guys who commandeered her ship are, like, security hired by her company to keep her ass safe. She's going down to an alien planet to find something. And Parker automatically takes a liking to her. You know, obviously. You spend, like, enough time on a crew, spend enough time on a ship, the crowded ship with, like, five guys. You need something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway. So those two kind of hit it off. You know, like they kind of start talking, they're flirting a bit. He is, you know, really socially awkward about it, but he's still doing fine. And then some asshole from the security company, as Presley and like the security group are leaving, the security guy just like looks back at Parker, just like points to Presley, points to himself, does like the standard like sex hand motion. He's like, "Get it?" Because, you know, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then Parker, Modi, Kim, and Lawrence, they decide to go down to the planet with them. You know, without their permission or anything, just they decide to go down. And they crash. Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's actually funny. So while they're crashing, so Parker is flying the thing, and he's like, and Modi's like, "Do you know how to fly this thing?" "Yeah, I fly it all the time in games, right? How hard can it be?" So it's flying down, like, everything starts blinking, like, malfunction light comes on, and then as everyone's freaking out, they're floating out of their seats because they're crashing, and everyone else is freaking out. Lawrence is like, "Wee! Yeah, this is awesome! Put your hands in the air!" So I'm pretty sure they're, like, using his mental retardation for laughs, but they're not actually playing it. Like, he is, in fact, they're actually, like, making a lot of jokes. The fact that he is retarded, it's just making jokes around the fact he's retarded, if you understand what I'm meaning. Like, it's not really offensive or, like, "Hey, he's retarded, laugh." It's like, "Oh, hey, he doesn't really understand what's going on. Laugh at his reaction." If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so I started out really hating this comic because everyone just seemed like utter assholes about everything. And then I got some context around what was happening, and I started to like it a bit more because, yes, a lot of the guys, especially Kim, are major assholes. And especially like the security detail. But then we also have characters like Parker, who is, I believe, supposed to be like the audience surrogate character. You know, like the gamer nerd guy who's socially awkward but still wants to get the girl, and like they're always the asshole jock in the way of trying of him getting the girl and stuff. So I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be like the point of reference for the audience. Which I'm not sure how to take that. Cause I mean, yeah, I can relate, but I'm guessing not everyone out there is like that who reads comics.
Not everyone, but I'm guessing enough.
Yeah, probably enough. But yeah, and obviously Lawrence is hilarious. I love Lawrence, he's awesome. And yeah, pretty much the only guys like I don't really like is Kim, because you know, I'm pretty sure he's gonna betray the team and try to kill everybody. Cause you know, on top of being like a violent sociopath, he also has extreme paranoia about everything. He always thinks the government's out to get his shit. So an extremely paranoid guy with a taser.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it isn't. So, yeah, and Presley, she is. I like Presley. You know, we haven't seen that much of her, but you know, she's confident about who she is and stuff, and she is very nice to people. Like Park, you know, he comes up, starts hitting on her, and she actually goes for it, which is a nice thing. And then there's also the asshole guards from what I remember of it, at least, she has some disdain toward the guys, but, you know, isn't exactly, like, hating toward them. It's just like, oh, so don't stop being such an asshole. Like, you know, they are assholes. But yeah, it's good. I like it.
All right.
Yeah, it does set up, it does have, like, very, like, high school level, like, character motivation. I'm like, I want to get the girl. Screw the government. I'm an asshole. Stuff like that. But you know, with the whole space FedEx thing, I think it works well. It's moving on to my first pick of my things, Dial H. Things just got really fucking awesome. It's so cool. And this probably isn't going to matter to absolutely anybody out there, but fuck all of you. This is awesome to me. There is a sidekick dial.
A sidekick dial.
A sidekick dial. It's so awesome. Yeah, so here's a story that's been going on for the last little while that actually led into finding the sidekick dial. So our two main characters, Nelson and a woman whose name I can't remember, so I'm just going to call her Manto because that's her superhero identity. So Nelson and Manto, they've been going around looking for information about the dials. They have two of them, but one of them doesn't work. So they've been looking around for information on the dials to try to fix theirs. And so that information leads them to Canada. Because the Canadian government has their hands on one of the dials and is doing a lot of research into it.
Awesome. Canada.
Yeah. So once they get there, they get intercepted by a secret agent of the Canadian government called the Centipede. He has the ability to like shift through time in weird ways, so he's able to it's like when he's moving at like super speeds, looks like there's like 100 of them. So, you know, and then like, again, thinking a couple issues ago, they get like this giant centipede helmet. So it's like a giant mask that is just a centipede head, but it has like a bunch of like different things inside the eyes that have like are able to like see like different spectrums of like light and stuff. So anyway, what was happening was Nelson, he dialed up a hero, Blink. Who is a hero who moves at such speeds that you only just see him out of the corner of your eye. That's the only place you can see him. And that plays really well in the actual art style of how he's drawn, because anytime he's actually talking, the speech bubble is just coming from just off panel. You can only see like an arm or a leg of his just going off panel. So you never actually see his full person on like in view at any time. Even when he's in the middle of the panel, you never actually see what he actually looks like.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he goes in there and he finds a soldier. This is a soldier who's been experimenting with the dial, on the Canadian government's behalf who ran into Nelson at like really early on when he came to Canada. And so that guy, he dials up and becomes a dog nuke.
A dog nuke.
A dog nuke. Basically, a dog with the body of a nuclear missile.
That's fucking amazing.
It really is. So he tells Dog Nuke, hey, get me the fuck out of Dodge. So they fly out of there, and then they get the dial, and they start talking to the soldier after he, you know, shifts back. And he says the number that he dials, which is different from the H dot, which is different from the H dial. Like, so, just... Let me pull up the phone so I can get this. So, in order to dial for here, you dial 4376. That's H-E-R-O. So then what he does... So then the guy says, like, just dial 7433, which is side. And you turn. And they're like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. And then Nelson's like, oh, fuck, it's a sidekick dial. This is awesome. And so the sidekicks, they have an instinctual need to follow the commands of the person with the H dial. And one thing that's new, one thing that was introduced new in this with these dials is that if you use the dial, if you use like the H dial for too long, you can actually start to lose your identity. Like each hero you dial up comes with like their own set of powers and their own identity and stuff and their own personality. And so if you start using it too much, you can eventually lose yourself to those other personalities and then just kind of go crazy and start having like multiple personality disorder of like, I'm Captain Lacrimose. No, I'm Chimney Boy. Oh God. And so the way Manto was dealing it was that she would always wear a mask and a purple cape and a red wig so that she was always the same person, Manto. No matter who she dialed up, she was always Manto. But Nelson never had this. He was always just like kind of fully dedicated himself to the role. So now with the H dial, I mean now with the S dial, Manto is able to dial up and be just Manto. And then Nelson is able to dial up any sidekick and be ordered around by Manto, who keeps ordering him, saying, hey, I'm Nelson, keeping him like tuned in so that he's still aware of who he is. And so they go out and fight crime together. And it's really awesome.
Yeah, that sidekick dial is sounding real useful.
It is. It's fucking awesome.
I really need to start reading dial H. Like,
and then they start making out.
Oh.
Which is kind of weird because they're making out while they're both dialed. And the fact that Manto is actually like 50 years older than Nelson. She's like 60 or 70. Actually, I'm pretty sure she's like, it's not 50 years. She's like 30 or she's like 20 or 30 years older. I'm pretty sure she's like in her 50s or 60s.
Wow. Awkward.
Yeah. But you know, when she's dialed, she looks like, you know, a 20 to 30 year old. Because, you know, it's the H dial.
Yeah.
Even when kids use it, they end up just turning into, you know, 20 or 30 year olds. Like what happened in Hero, like happened in the Hero series that came out a few years back. Which I also recommend. You should definitely check that out. It's awesome. Yeah, it just adds this whole new layer of awesomeness to this. Because, you know, now you have the sidekick dial. Which means, you know, you really get both out, like, doing hero shit at the same time. And, you know, there's also the whole, like, control thing that's happening between the H and S dials. And, you know, how that'll affect the relationship together. How them actually forming a relationship will affect the relationship together. Like, will it be some weird kind of, like, Spider-Man black cat thing where they're only into each other when they're dialed up? Or will it be that they just are into each other when they're both dialed up or when they're just themselves? Because keep in mind, Manto is, like, on the cusp of being an elderly person, and Nelson is like 270 is like 300 pounds.
So, yeah. Not the best couple. Now that you think of it, I could just like see Spider-Man and Black Cat just like, so you want to put the costumes on? Oh fuck yes.
No, that's not even the thing. Like with the Black Cat thing, she actually at one point I've done some reading up on this. I haven't actually read the story that this happens in, but like they start dating and then Peter's like, I love you, Felicia, which is Black Cat's real identity, Felicia Hardy. And then she's like, I love you too, Spider-Man. She was only in love with Spider-Man, not Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Which, okay. But no, Dial H is fucking fantastic. It's one of my favorite books going right now. Canada!
Canada!
That's fucking it. It's... What other book has, like, a lot of the big plot reveals happen in Canada? What other book has the Canadian government doing, like, groundbreaking research into a yet undiscovered technology? Ah! It's so good. I'm sorry, I just need to freak out there for a second. People out there, you're probably like, if you aren't reading Dial H, definitely check it out. It's only 10 issues in, so you can catch up very easily. It is really good. I really recommend this series to people. So then, Bobby One, your second pick.
My second pick was, I swear I knew it a second ago. The Secret Avengers.
Okay, so The Secret Avengers. This is kind of a weird one. So the first two issues of this series have been released so far. The first issue was about Nick Fury recruiting Hawkeye and Black Widow to a, like, Black Ops covert team. And the second about the mission. At the end of the comic, we learned that the mission was actually an entire setup. So there's one. So, like, Agent Phil Coulson is there saying, hey, Natasha, Clint, come back, join this team, do some Black Ops shit. It'll be awesome. And so then they sign. So they sign like some forms where, like, they have like nanomachines implanted in their brains that allow Shield to, like, delete short term memory. So that way, like, if these like one missions get captured, then Shield and Shield can just, like, flip a switch, and then they'll forget why they're there and, like, what's going on and stuff. So they can't give away any, like, personal or, like, compromising information. But so Shield uses this to test out their shit, like the healing factor bullets.
Healing factor bullets?
Yes, they're bullets that you shoot someone with them, they die, and then are healed back to life with a healing factor that is in the bullets.
I'm guessing a good torture device.
Yeah, it's like localized healing factor. So there's one bit where so Hawkeye is, like, running along. He's, like, doing his, you know, bow and arrow shit, and then he like gets knocked out or something, and wakes up on a rooftop a few hours later, not remembering how he got there, what's happening, because, you know, the thing, because, you know, like, nanomachines. Then it's revealed that he was on that rooftop and unconscious because Nick Fury shot him.
What a nice boss.
Yeah, and this is new Nick Fury, so he's Samuel L. Jackson, but not. He's like Samuel L. Jackson cosplaying as, like, a Captain America ripoff. Because he has, like, the eye patch on, but he also has, like, this costume on that has a, like, Wonder Woman style bra-lined thing happening, where it's, like, a star in the middle of the chest that, like, branches out, like, the red, white, and blue that lead to the shoulder guards. Like, shoulder straps or something. It's weird.
I liked him better with just, like, the dark coat thing.
Yeah, just like a black turtleneck coat. Done. So, yeah. So that's the first issue of just realizing that, oh, hey, S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of evil. Then we move into the second issue, where S.H.I.E.L.D. is recruiting the Taskmaster. For those who don't know who the Taskmaster is. So, for those who don't know, the Taskmaster is a recurring villain. He's like a mercenary, and he has photographic musculature, meaning that anything he sees done once, he can replicate, making him one of the most dangerous people on the planet. Because any move he sees done, he can replicate it verbatim.
I'm guessing there's limitations, like, so long as it's physically possible.
Yeah, if it's like a superpower thing, then he can't do it. But if it's just like... But if it's like Spider-Man swinging throughout the city, he's able to just, like, do the exact same type of swinging thing if he gets his hands on web shooters. Like, any kind of, like, martial arts moves, any kind of, like, yoga shit. Anything that basically doesn't involve actual superpowers.
Like, he's even able to... that guy down for a martial arts marathon?
Yeah, fuck. You show him the news, Because there are probably a lot of assholes out there who, like, capture footage of superheroes doing shit. So just show him, like, 5 minutes of footage of Captain America. You have a new Captain America. Because while Captain America can technically be described as superpowered, a lot of his stuff is just physically impressive. Like, you know, aside, like, if anything aside from super strength, that guy's able to do. Like, you watch Captain America once, he's able to use his shield perfectly.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And so they're trying to get him on board to infiltrate a nation of supervillains.
A nation of them.
Yes.
It seems like overkill.
Yeah, a nation of supervillains. They actually do get him installed as the Minister of Defense, I believe. Which is nice. And also, AIM is involved in all this. So AIM is a, for those who don't know, is a terrorist organization that is essentially Science Hydra. They are a group of scientists who use their scientific knowledge to try to take over the world. And that's all they do. They just, everything is science. Well, science and suicide. So yeah, so AIM is like operating out of this country so that it's like the U.S. government can't really touch anything with them because like diplomatic immunity and everything or something. It's weird. So yeah, so far what's happened in this series is Hawkeye and Black Widow were given memory erasing nanomachines, then were shot with healing bullets, and then the Taskmaster was hired by S.H.I.E.L.D. to infiltrate a country of supervillains and become the Minister of Defense.
So real Black Opsy shit.
Oh yeah, there's a reason they call it the Secret Avengers. Yeah, so everything about this book is really interesting, and I really like it. But the one thing that is kind of a downfall for me is the art. So the art is real messy. Like, this might just be the inker or something, but everything is heavily shadowed. Like, even in like regular like even when Natasha and Clint were first brought in, even though they were in like a brightly lit conference room, they still had like incredibly thick dark lines all around them, and it just looks off. And the characters, anytime they get like, unless they have like a close up shot of their face, they all look really low def and have very little detail about them, and they just look kind of like ass. So yeah, it's unfortunate though, because the book is really interesting. Which is like the insane Black Ops shit S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing. You don't really see a lot of that in other comics.
Yeah. Definitely be a fresh change.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a fresh change. So I'm really excited to see where this book goes. I hope they change artists at some point so the art gets better. But even if it doesn't, I'll still keep reading this book because it is really interesting. So then moving on to the final thing I'm talking about, which has great art and a really interesting premise. The End Times with Bram and Ben. So, it's the Rapture.
All right, then.
So one day, every person who's like pious and good and shit gets raptured up to heaven, including Ben, I believe, is the one who gets sent up. Actually, let me just check this again. I believe it is Ben. Come on. There we go. Just give me a second. Okay, no. Bram gets taken to heaven. So Bram gets raptured along with a bunch of other people. It is just all of a sudden just poof, they're gone. But then Bram gets sent back. Because it turns out he wasn't actually meant to go to heaven. It was a clerical error.
Huh.
Yeah,
that
so.
That sucks.
Because he was up in heaven, and he realized that up in heaven, things were really boring. So then back down on Earth, he announces his candidacy for the Antichrist.
Like running like it's a fucking election?
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so then a demon shows up and says, "Hey, I'm here to help you run for the Antichrist." And of course, his roommate Ben is totally against all this because, you know, he thought he was a good guy. And he was like, why the hell didn't I get raptured? And then it turns out their neighbor, who's also a really creepy, almost kind of pedophile guy, is an angel. And he said, you didn't go to heaven because of this one thing you did like 5 years ago that wasn't very Christian. I can't really remember what it was.
Bullshit.
Yes, then Bram is running for an Antichrist. Ben is doing everything he can to, you know, not have him be the Antichrist. And he's getting help from heaven, you know, to try to like get him into heaven. Like at one point, his neighbor like strips him and then changes his clothes into something a bit more presentable. And he also gives him a list of things he can't do. You know, like it has the commandments on there, but it's like don't touch a menstruating woman, don't wear mixed fabric clothing. You know, like if you wear a polycotton blend, you're going to hell. And it's actually a real hard one to follow. Yeah, and a couple times there are actually like full on battles between demons and angels, which are awesome. And it's also really hilarious because the angels come across as bigger assholes than the demons.
As they generally would.
Yeah, like the angels, they actually murdered a few innocent bystanders in their melee with the demons. The demons, like, they did their best to try to, like, not kill everyone, and the angels just like, fuck it, I don't care, like, end up chopping a dude's head off. And then anytime anyone brings up, it's like, dude, you killed someone! You killed one of our friends! It's like, oh, no, that was an accident. We didn't mean to. Yeah. And so there's one scene that's really great where we actually get, like, a grouping of angels, and the angels, they're, like, in their human forms are all just, like, really old, fucking weird-looking people, and they turn into, you know, their, like, full-on angel selves, and they turn into, like, He-Man.
Huh.
Yeah, and so they're up there, and they're, like, yelling down to people. It's like, repent, and thou shalt still be saved. And then people are like, fuck you, dude, I'm getting drunk. and then the angels get really confused by all this, because, like, why do they want to get into heaven? It's like, what the fuck? And so, yeah. And we also meet the real Antichrist. It's Penn and Teller.
What, seriously?
Well, they call them, like, Glenn and Palmer or something, but it's Penn and Teller. They're Vegas magicians. One of them is tall, a bit overweight, and has long black hair and a ponytail, and the other one's really short and doesn't talk.
So Penn and Teller are the Antichrist.
Yes. Then they kill Ben.
Oh.
Just out of nowhere.
I'm disappointed, Penn and Teller.
Yeah, like, this is a series where heaven and hell are known to exist, so Ben's probably not dead. Well, actually, he is dead, but he's probably going to be coming back. Because, you know, it happens. But anyway, this book is really great. The art style is a very cartoony art style. It kind of reminds me of, like, a kind of less defined Chu art style. So if you really like Chu, like the art style from Chu, you probably like the art style for this. It's very similar, like really cartoony and over the top and stuff. But it doesn't exactly have the same kind of definition and everything, which I think actually helps it a bit. But on all the demons and stuff, they do have really defined features and everything, but on all the people, it just kind of, you know, everything's all smooth and simple and everything, and it looks great. The book is really hilarious. It has really interesting views on heaven and hell and the dichotomy between the two of them. and it does some jokes that you, like, didn't expect. Like, if you ever said it's a comedy series about the rapture, would you ever think someone got raptured, then they were rejected because of a clerical error, and then they became the Antichrist, kind of?
No. No, I would not.
Yeah, and the characters, they play really well off each other. Like, it's a standard kind of odd couple thing, where Bram is a slacker, he's, like, kind of slovenly, doesn't really clean up after himself. He just kind of hangs out, does, like, smokes drugs, plays video games. But then Ben is kind of the more uptight one. You know, he's the one with the job, he's the one who, like, cleans up everything, he's the one who says, like, hey, Bram, get off your ass and pay some rent. But he never comes across as, like, an actual asshole. And seeing him just, like, trying to follow the rules of heaven and, like, freaking out every time everything's happening, it's like, is this shirt a polycotton blend? Are you menstruating right now? He actually does scream. Like, one of the things is, do not touch a menstruating woman.
Yeah, I know. I read all those crazy ass rules in the Bible.
I didn't, because I didn't.
Shit is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, and so. So yeah, if you get a chance to check out this book, it's real great. I'm pretty sure it's a 5-issue run. And we're 3 issues deep right now, so you can definitely catch up and then be able to get the last 2 issues as they come out. Yes, seriously, check out this book. It is awesome. Excuse me. Actually, the covers are really cool in this book, too. We don't usually talk about covers on here, but the covers for these books are fantastic. Like, especially the most recent one. It's just, like, insanely metal. Yeah. So that's what we're bringing, then. On to news. So, first piece of news. We have a big roster update for Injustice Gods Among Us. So, now confirmed as playable characters are Doomsday, the thing that quote-unquote killed Superman, Raven from the Teen Titans, and Black Adam, villain of Shazam. So yeah, this is... so far they've released gameplay footage for Doomsday and Raven. Doomsday is, as you would expect, just a big motherfucker who just beats everything. Raven is a bit more of the magical type. She's able to, like, kind of... She has projectiles, able to, like, project things and fly a bit, I believe. Black Adam, I'm guessing, is one of the heavy characters. Because, you know, he's just kind of evil Captain Marvel, and Captain Marvel is just magical Superman. I cannot wait for this fucking game. I really want to play it.
Yeah, no, it looks real good, and I'm thinking, I don't want to spend money on a new game, and I usually don't like fighting games, but oh god, Injustice Gods Among Us looks amazing.
Looks really fucking cool! So yeah, on the site we have gameplay footage up of Doomsday and Raven, so you can check out how they're doing, and you can also find their, like, super moves. Doomsday's is fucking awesome. But I just don't know how I feel about Doomsday's ponytail.
I didn't watch the Doomsday one because I just generally don't like him as a character.
He's not a character. Not really. He's just a punch.
I know.
So yeah. Moving on to our next piece of news. So a little while ago, Marvel released a teaser of a big number one. And they revealed, and so people were wondering what this was, they revealed it as South by Southwest. So, the first teaser was to announce that Marvel will be releasing 700 first issues on Comixology for free.
Well, that's a lot.
Yes. Some, in fact, it was so much that they crashed Comixology.
Good job.
Yeah. And so, it wasn't just, like, they crashed, you know, the offer page. No one could access Comixology to, like, download anything.
It's exactly what Dr. Horrible did to iTunes.
Yeah. Yeah, Marvel essentially launched a DDoS attack on Comixology.
Unintentionally, but yeah.
Yeah, so for 2 days, no one could get their hands on anything. And, well, and Comixology co-founder and CEO Dave Steinberger was aware of the problem, saying that, quote, we don't like letting you down. Our team is working around the clock to resolve these issues so that you can have the experience you come to expect. And they did eventually find a solution. Take the comics down. Yeah, so just after the promotion was released, it was immediately pulled. After that, Comixology went right back online to working, and people then got back to regular shopping habits. Comixology and Marvel are still planning to do this. They're just waiting for Comixology to figure out how to do it without breaking all their shit. And because of the downtime, some bonus stuff is to be expected.
Sweet. Yeah, I gotta say,
that is a really cool offer from Marvel. I'm just, hey, here's 700 free things. Go. It's really cool. It's really awesome, Marvel. Speaking of awesome, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, who are the guys who write Batman... And Batman is awesome. If you're not reading it, then, you know, fuck off. They're going to be delving into Batman's backstory with Zero Year, which is going to be an 11-issue story arc that starts this June in issue 21 of Batman. So this story will be what happens in between the death of Bruce Wayne's parents and him coming back as Batman. You see, like a lot of the stories that that's been done out there have been like either Batman's really early years or Batman when he is already Batman. Like I believe the story is year. I believe like the story that happens at that time is called Year One. It's Frank Miller and Dave Muzzicelli. It was like a 4-issue series that just showed Batman as he was like starting out as Batman. And you know, Snyder and Capullo did this something similar to this with their Zero issue. But this is going to be Zero Year, the year that no one has told a story in before, according to them. Yeah, so the Associated Press announced Islam on Monday. And Snyder wanted to reassure fans of the character that while he will be making changes, key elements of the story will remain. You know, like the crime alley, death of his parents, everything that happened. He said, quote, "It's not let's redo the origin. It's time for a new story showing how Batman became who he is in the New 52. So this story came about because of the success of the first year and a half of the New 52. Which I'm guessing was a pretty big success.
Yeah. It seems pretty popular at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, so Snyder also said that this series will not be a part of Year One. So this is going to be an entirely separate thing apart from Year One, because Year One was like pre-52. And so this is going to be its own thing that is set within the New 52 universe, showing how New 52 Bruce Wayne became New 52 Batman. And I can't fucking wait. Scott Snyder is a fantastic writer. Greg Capullo is an amazing artist. Greg is actually one of my favorite artists right now. He is fucking amazing. So yeah, if you aren't reading Batman, definitely get into Batman. It is amazing. Zero Year starts in issue 21, which comes out this June. Do you read Batman, Bobby Wan?
I had started, dropped off, will return.
As you should, it's fucking amazing. So, moving on for next piece of news. Marvel Studios has found their Drax the Destroyer for Guardians of the Galaxy. It's Batista. The wrestler.
Yeah.
I expected a reaction out of that.
I want there to be a button for boo!
Well, I'll find something.
Yeah, just because every acting role I've heard of Batista being in, it's like, yeah, he was pretty shit.
Yeah, like he was not good in Man with the Iron Fist. But apparently, Batista's actually been like in the running for the parts this last year. And he actually won out against Jason Momoa, Patrick Wade, and Isaiah Mustafa, also known as the Old Spice guy.
No, we should have Old Spice guy.
Yes. Just he starts doing one of his routines and stabs a guy.
So, now back at me. Now back at your wound. Now back at me.
Back to me. Now back to me. Obviously, I'm not wounded. Yeah, for those who don't know, Drax, as part of the Guardians of the Galaxy, is a human who was brought back as a green warrior for the purpose of killing Thanos, who was the villain that was teased in the final scene of the Avengers. And it'll also be getting a new miniseries coming up soon. He has the power of flight, super strength, and he can shoot energy out of his hands. So now we have two cast members for Guardians of the Galaxy. We have, you know, Batista as Drax and Christopher Pratt as Peter Quill, a.k.a. Star-Lord. But what we don't have is Rocket Raccoon.
We need to find out who our fucking Rocket Raccoon's gonna be.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about Groot, who's a living tree, or Gamora, who's like the lady assassin thing, the last of her species. I don't know who the fuck plays Rocket Raccoon. It better not be Jim Carrey or fucking what's his dick? Adam Sandler. Fuck that guy. Yeah, so moving on to our next piece of news. So Bryan Singer, back on the Twitter yet again, tweeted a picture showing the current casting lineup for his movie, what is it, X-Men Days of Future
Days
Past.
Days of Future Past.
Yes. Yeah, so people who saw that picture noticed some things, like Daniel Cudmore, who played Colossus in X2 and X-Men The Last Stand. And Fan Bing Bing, who's been in some things, I guess, and Boo Boo Stewart, who was in Twilight.
Boo.
Yeah, so Cudmore will be returning as the role of Colossus, who is the Russian metal man. Fan Bing Bing will be playing the mutant Blink, who is a like pixie type person who's able to do teleportation stuff, which is weird because I'm pretty sure she's Irish. So, you know. It's kind of a weird choice to cast an Asian actress as an Irish person.
Asian Irish.
At least I think she's Irish. She hasn't exactly had a big role in the comics right now. She was pretty big with like Generation Hope and everything, but after Schism happened and then the fucking Avengers vs. X-Men, she hasn't had a lot to do. So for all I know, she could, you know, actually be Asian, and I'm just stupid or racist or something.
But as a note for the whole Asian Irish thing, who, you know, lives in, let's say, South Korea? Just to pick one at random.
Okay, sorry, I was thinking of an entirely different person.
Okay.
Yeah, Blink is a purple skinned lady with the power to teleport.
Ah. So she'll be purple.
Yes. Yes, she will. And she's also part of the Exiles. Who the fuck was I thinking of then?
I don't know.
Yeah, she's also this girl was also a teleporter, and you know she did stuff like that. I'm looking this up. Just a second, folks. Sorry. Yeah, who the fuck was I thinking? Let's check there. Who the fuck am I thinking of? Pixie. I'm thinking of Pixie. Sorry, folks. I don't know why I thought Blink was Pixie.
You're going to get hate mail. Of course, you'd appreciate that because that would mean you're actually getting mail.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so with Fan as Blink and Cudmore as Colossus, no one is clear who Stewart will be playing yet. I don't really know either. I haven't read the story, so I don't know which characters are actually in it. So, yeah.
Well, plus it's in the cinematic universe, not even exactly the Marvel Cinematic Universe, a separate cinematic universe. As well, they are not retconning X3, so
yeah,
shit's going to be different.
Well, they already kind of retconned. They did something that actually either retconned X3 or retconned Origins Wolverine out of existence.
They did retcon Origins Wolverine, except Brian Singer's describing that as there's alternate timelines.
Of course there are.
So that timeline is separate from the First Class and Days of Future Past timeline.
Okay. So all this stuff happened in Universe 616. All this stuff is happening in 1610.
Yeah, exactly.
For those who get that joke, you're hilarious. And awesome, because you know what the Ultimate Universe is. Yeah, so moving on to next piece of news. Telltale Games, the developers of the awesome Walking Dead game, tweeted a word yesterday. Or was it yesterday? Actually tweeted a word today. Which got the internet all up in shit. That word was howl. Get it?
For some reason, I'm not getting it.
Fables. Bigby.
Ah.
You know.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's just, I didn't go straight from howl to Bigby Wolf from Fables.
We've reported on the show before that Telltale was developing a Fables game.
Yeah, I forgot. which is strange because I'm really fucking excited about it, but I forgot. Shut up.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so, while Telltale did tweet that word, it was just a tease. They aren't actually announcing anything proper. Like, not revealing anything proper until FableCon. Actually, is it FableCon? It's FablesCon. Sorry. Which is a big convention that's going to be happening later this month. And they'll be announcing something during their panel at 3 p.m. in the boring panel room. On Saturday, March 23rd.
But as a note, who would you be playing as if not Big B?
I don't know. It could be like what they did with the Walking Dead game, where you have a character who is like has a connection to like the actual main cast, but is just on the sidelines or something. And you know, the towel thing could be teasing the fact that you play as Big B.
It could be like you could get to Big B would be the logical choice if you had to pick one of the characters to put. I mean, like, because Boy Blue does stuff for a while, but not till later on and for a limited period of time.
Yeah.
You could be Snow White, but let's be honest, that's markedly less awesome. You can survive being shot in the head, but you can't transform into a wolf and tear people apart.
It's like, ooh, wow, you saw the Lord of Flies. What do you fucking do? You could be Flycatcher.
Once again, he doesn't really start doing shit till later on, though.
Yeah, who was
and
me?
At that point, he's like...
Magic King person?
Yeah, and practically unstoppable.
Yeah. And, like, they actually haven't said where this takes place in the timeline. This could be taking place, like, in the homelands.
It could be.
Like, this could be, like, before the invasion.
God, there's so much we don't know about this game.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to wait for this coming Saturday to find out.
Yee.
That's supposed to be you squeeing?
No, I have squeed before, and it did not sound like that.
Oh, God. Okay, so, moving on to our next piece of news. So, Brian K. Vaughan, writer of Why Last Man and the current and the currently running Saga, and Marcos Martin, who also did work on Doctor Strange and Batgirl Year One, as he was also artist for Amazing Spider-Man a little bit, are doing something awesome by releasing a comic for free. Actually, not so much for free as a name-your-own-priced, no DRM download digital comic. So the book is called The Private Eye, and according to Kotaku, it is, quote, a glimpse at a dystopian future filled with journalists, policemen, and masked citizens, where people obsessively hide information about themselves. And according to this thing, it's an extrapolation of internet culture.
I get it.
Yeah, anonymity. We totally understand that, don't we, Bobby-Wan?
Yes, we do, dead man.
So yeah, this is a name-your-own-price thing. You can pay anything you want from $0 to $10,000. You'll be able to download it and use it on any machine you want. Just move the file over. And this is a pretty awesome thing to do. I'm pretty sure Mark Millar might have done something like this. No, it wasn't Mark Millar. It was someone. They released a book, Insufferable, for free. And it was actually pretty good. So this is actually really awesome that they're doing this. Brian K. Vaughan is one of my favorite writers. Like I know I'm saying that a lot this week. But no, Brian K. Vaughan is awesome. He was like one of the earliest comics I read. I'm pretty sure I think he actually had like a helping hand in creating The Runaways. Or he actually did just create The Runaways.
Well, that would be awesome.
Yeah, he created The Runaways.
The Runaways are a great set of characters.
Yeah, The Runaways were my first
series in general.
The Runaways were my first Marvel book. Like, they were, like I have, in my head, I have essentially three books that, you know, that I started, that introduced me to each of the main big three companies that I currently read today. It was The Birds of Prey for DC, it was Hack/Slash for Image, and it was The Runaways for Marvel. And damn it, Marvel, I want them back! Stop doing all these bullshit books where you have them, like, running into other superheroes or have them where they might die.
Seriously, don't kill the runaways!
They haven't died yet, so that's something. They're still alive. Just bring them back, damn it. I want to know what happened in between. I wonder what happened in between the end of the Runaways book and what happened to them in Dokken. Gone! I need my fix!
And it's Chase and Nico in that one book where they might die, right?
Yeah! And that fucking.
Why
sucks.
Them?
Because they're the ones. Because they're the fan favorites. They're the ones that, you know, have a relationship building, maybe.
It's like, oh yeah. Let's take this series with a relatively small cast of main characters and put the two favorites on the chopping block to die.
You already killed old Lace. How many more must die? Yeah, did you know old Lace had died in the actual book?
Yeah, I'm past that point. I got to the one that Joss Whedon wrote, which is Dead End Kids, I think.
Is that the one that ends with Chase being hit by a car?
I don't think so.
Then you still have, I think, one more to go, because the book actually, like, the book actually ends, quote unquote, ends with Chase being hit by a car.
Yeah, and I've given up on trying to find it on completelylegaldownloadlink.com, so I think I might just go out and buy it.
I'll send you a link.
Thank you. But yeah, yeah, that one that Joss Whedon wrote where they went into the past, that's the last one I read, and that was when he, like, introduced a bunch of new characters, made us like them, and then killed every one of them.
Yeah, you still have two more arcs to go, I think.
Two more arcs. Wonderful. So yeah. I have some reading before I have to deal with the possibility of Chase and Nico dying.
Yeah, so moving on to our final piece of news. NBC is working on a pilot based on the Oni Press book The Sixth Gun. So the book is a supernatural Western story that centers around six pistols with superpowers. The most dangerous of the guns, the sixth one, disappears and then resurfaces in the hands of Becky Montcrief, who reawakens his dark powers and everyone starts going after the gun. It sounds like an anime.
It does. I can't even select which one it sounds like.
Most recently, it would be Katagatari or whatever it was called.
Yeah, I was going to say that one or like even a little bit of Afro Samurai.
Yeah, like the headbands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so this is being developed over at NBC, and they have just rounded out a central cast. So the things will the pilot that they're filming will star Laura Ramsey from The Runes as Becky, Michael Huisman from Treme as the mysterious gunslinger Drake Sinclair, W. Earl Brown from Deadwood as Oleander Hume, a Confederate general who's a zombie. Graham McTavish from The Hobbit as Silas Hedgepeth. Aldous Hodge from Leverage as Mr. Mercer, a detective hired to find the guns. And Elena Satine, who also played Mara on Smallville, I guess. I don't remember any character called Mara on Smallville. Will be playing Missy Hume. Maiden who keeps herself eternally young with the power of the fifth gun. So yeah, that's our main cast. Ooh.
All right.
That's
if
good.
If I read the series, I'd be interested in the TV show.
Yeah, I've been meaning to look into the series. This looked cool from what I've seen of the covers, and I haven't actually gotten a chance to read the book yet. I probably will by, you know, like next week. Hmm. But anyway, that's going to do it for this week. Thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow the site on Twitter. You can follow us at DeathStoreProds. I am at Deadman_DDProds. We have at Bovey1, and while he wasn't here this week, you can follow Steven at Steven_TC. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/destoprods. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/destoprodsvids for myself, youtube.com/bobbywan for Bobby Wan, and youtube.com/drthoraz, that's D-R Thoraz, for Steven. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us some reviews, let us know what you want to see more of, etc. You can subscribe to us on Stitcher now, download the app, check us out on there. And we also have a DeviantArt, apparently. You can have an order to destoprods.deviantart.com, where Ninja Kidding and Bubby want to post some shit all the time. Mostly Ninja Kidding, I'm guessing, though.
Completely Ninja Kitty. That's her thing.
Okay, then. Ninja Kitty's posting shit. Delight her.
Oh.
Yeah, so this week on the website, we're going to be having the movie podcast this Friday, as well as another commentary track for Resident Evil Month. This week, we're going to be taking a look at Resident Evil Afterlife. Then, we're going to be having Anything Cast live this Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Please join us at loggames.com/chat. We'd love to hear from you guys and tell us about what you think of the site, what we're doing with everything. Then we're going to be having the Video Games Podcast on next Tuesday, the Anime Podcast next Thursday. Oh, right, and this week, actually, we're also going to be doing an episode of the Anime Club with a new format. We're going to take a look at the first two episodes of Samurai Champloo. Proud about that.
Yeah, we still have to do a post about that new format.
Yeah, we'll do it when we actually post it.
Alrighty then.
Yes. Yeah, and then next week we're gonna be taking a look at episodes 3 and 4 of Samurai Champloo, and we'll also be hosting another commentary track that Friday for Resident Evil Retribution, wrapping up at Resident Evil Month. I almost said Afterlife Month for some reason.
That was weird.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe this will finally be the week that I post fucking personal issues. Who knows? Maybe. I don't know. Fucking know. It'll come out the next time Dwoey does a fanfic grab bag.
You know I'm going to record a fanfic grab bag, like, in the next 2 weeks now out of spite.
Yep. Well, anyway, thank you for joining us. But until all the stuff I just mentioned, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bobby Wan.
And for Steven, we will see you guys next time.